how this was, we compared it to Moses last week, how Moses gave a law from the Ten Commandments and he wrote, and then we find Jesus, he gives a new world order, you might say, in bringing in, instead of the law and the outward appearance and how strict it was, that these are inward things that deals with our heart and our attitude towards God. And I think so much we worry about the outward side, so much we forget about the interior, the inside of our attitude of our hearts, of how much we really, are we pleasing God in our thoughts? Is our thoughts right? Is our heart right? Is our attitude toward situations right? And the Sermon on the Mount deals with these in such a way that, I don't know about you, but they challenge me something fierce. I mean, every time I read this, I get so small. It's a humbling experience. So let's read together here in Matthew chapter 5 again and read the words as Jesus gets ready to set his disciple and the folks that's around him and gets ready to teach. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples come unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I mean, it's been for your testimony or for your walk with God, I mean, it's been said something about at school. Anybody said something for your walk in the Lord? At workplace? I know when it comes to hard times, when people want prayer, you know who they'll come to? It'll be you. They'll come hunt you up. Yeah, all the games is over then. So at the one, and seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples come unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Who can tell me what this word blessed means? Who can give me another verse where blessed is used? Oh, come on. You got some. I know. You're sitting there just... Come on, help me out. Psalm 1:1. And what's that say, Brother David? Blessed. Deep, 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 deep. That's all, folks. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the... What? The counsel of the ungodly, nor... Standeth in the ways, or... So there's three progressions there of this blessed is the man here in Psalms in the Old Testament. And it's a progression of someone stopping, standing, and the next one they're sitting. It's a progression of someone getting away from God. And then that's how it happens. We get comfortable to the world and we get sitting down with them, stopping, standing around, and pretty soon we're sitting down with them and it's okay. And we don't feel convicted like we did when we first was around him. I mean, I've been in places where, and you probably have too, where you get in there and say, boy, I want to get out of here quick. You could feel the atmosphere of the air and it is thick and it's ungodly and you can almost feel the ungodly thoughts going on. You can't see them, but you feel their presence. And why is that? Well, I'm just talking about, you're in the doctor's office. Oh. And you're sitting there and you feel it. It's like you want to grab your Bible and just start almost reading out loud just to run off the bad vibes. But that's what it is. But here he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the word here, blessed, literally means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, blessed or happy. So, happy, now listen to this, happy or supremely blessed is the poor in spirit. It's almost like an oxymoron. It don't even make me, but there's a deeper understanding than what this is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, but it's a situation at hand. I've been this one poor in spirit. I've been that one that I was empty and vain inside and I had nothing inside. And there was one glorious day, November 15, 1988, God began to take that void and made me happy, made me most fortunate, made me supremely blessed. Boy, what a thought that is. Knowing my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing I got a home in heaven, that this world's not my home, I become poor in spirit to extremely blessed. What a thought, what a thought. So blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One thought. Next one, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word here, mourn, means literally to grieve, the feeling or the act, to wail. This is someone in deep, deep depression, deep anxiety has set upon them. And they're mourning. But it says, for they shall be comforted. This word comfort means exhortation or consolation given. And what's, who can tell me here, what is Jesus talking about here? He's telling his disciples, he said, all these people down this hillside, and he's giving them something they've never heard before. Can you imagine their attitude? All these other things, you know, he's turned the water into wine already. He's done so many marvelous acts, and now he's setting them down and he's telling them this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. It's kind of almost totally the opposite of what way we think. He's given them a whole new bowl of wax to think about. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He, even though in our drastic times, listen, he's given hope. Now, by the time we get to the end of this, when he's talking about the persecution, he's letting them know it's going to get rougher before it gets better. And he's preparing them and setting the stage for the rest of their life. And some of them go even deeper. Peter, you know, he goes in great, a little bit more deeper detail with Peter, how he'd even die. You know, and they're going to take him away a place where he wished not. In other words, he didn't even want to go. He's going to crucify him just as he did his Lord. And as we, if you've read any history at all, you know, Peter was what? Who can tell me? Yeah, he said he's not worthy to die as his master. So they obliged him. They turned him feet first and hung him upside down and nailed him. Whew. But here he's preparing them for what's getting ready to come. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a comfort in times. Pastor went through a situation just not too long ago, and he talked about he experienced a peace and grace of God he's never experienced no other time. Something to think about. In our deepest tragedies of life, when God intervenes and comforts us in ways that only God can. When we read His Word and the pages, the words literally jump off the page and feed our soul, feed our mind, and it seems to push back all the negative energy that's fighting against us. The power of the Word of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now this one goes a little bit further. He gives a big broad spectrum of in eternity. Who can tell me what he's going through here? How far could this possibly go? They shall inherit the earth. Who's going to reign with Christ when he takes this over one day? I don't like riding. My backbone can't handle it right now, but bless God, that day I'll have a glorified body and I'm going to ride like I've never rode before. Ain't that going to be something? And to reign and rule with Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now does this word meek mean weak? In the world's mind, their knowledge of meek means weak. Moses, what was said of Moses? He was more meek than any other man. So he was very controlled, very meek, very humble type spirit. And there he led. Who can give me a number of how many people he led? I mean, millions of people he... So, Moses is the one I'm talking about. Yes. Millions of folks he led. And to... When you think of a broad... How wide this line was and how long, you could not see the end of it. And it's one man God called. But yet he was the meekest man of all time. And here Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But he gives this other one too. And this is interesting. He says, they're having a discussion of who's going to be sitting at the right hand of Jesus in heaven. And Jesus says, that's not mine to give. Then he gives them another oxymoron again. And what does he tell them? For the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's not us though, is it? There's the line, I'm gonna get in first line, I'm gonna have the first pickings. Especially at the dessert table. Got some smiles there. So, as we think, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So as we, who hunger and thirst after righteousness? This is one of my favorites right here. The reason being, the word filled here means, listen to this. It means to literally, as you put a horse or a cow in a field, it's called foddering. They go fodder themselves. And what they're doing, they are gorging themselves. They'll eat to where they cannot eat no more. They are filled. Now, let's read the verse again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What are you hungering and thirsty for? Attention? Prestige? Look at me. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. In other words, in this, as God fills him much to gorge, to supply food in abundance, to fill, and I love this part, to satisfy. Jesus can satisfy whatever hunger you have in life. He is able to fill that void inside you to the uttermost. And to think, to be full of what? To be full of righteousness, who hunger and thirst after. And you notice it's both. It didn't just say those who hunger after righteousness. It said those who hunger and thirst. James told me something one time. I was sitting there eating dessert, and I was full as I could get. And he goes, no, drink something down. It compacts it, and you can make more room. And I'm going to use that right here. He's missing it this morning because that's what he said. So those who hunger and thirst. So as you eat and you drink and compacts it down, makes room to where you can just feel yourself to where, but it's the feeling of righteousness, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's presence, God's thinking, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, just full. Where you feel your thoughts is right. Those are great times when you actually, you're tempted and just, you just go, I mean, you're full of God. It's easy for you at that time. God's just got your number and He's just taken over inside you. And the most effective we can possibly be in this life and when God is in control of every aspect of your life. Blessed are them. They which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there's the attitude right before, blessed are the meek. That humble, meek spirit. It don't come with a haughty, proud spirit. You think God would even save somebody that come forward? I mean, Bible says, whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I'm here. Bless God, I deserve salvation. I don't sound like very meek and humble. That's a haughty spirit, yes. I don't sound like somebody I can do business with till they come to that place of realizing who they are. Boy, I got upset with the McCameys this morning. Sung a beautiful song and I love it, just as I am. But her idea is just as she was, the ABCs, admit you are a sinner, and that was all good. And the other part was good, but she got to a spot where she used 1 John for a lost person. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's not to the sinner. It could be used there, but that's, He says, my little children. So that meek humbleness we need in our lives for God to deal continually with us, for God to help us. And that meek, mild spirit that God can use and transform. What got Moses cursed to where he couldn't even go into the promised land? That meek, mild spirit vanished just for a little bit. An inkling of the flesh rose its ugly head up of Moses. And when he did what he wanted to do of smiting a rock instead of speaking, and then therefore he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because of it. So that meek, mild spirit that he had that God blessed and you so greatly ended up, this other spirit rose its head up and then it was a curse unto him. So humbleness is a very key to God, having the blessings of God upon our lives. We got 30 seconds in this time. So we see blessed, to be supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. Every one of us wants to be well off, but this is not in the world's eyes. This is spiritually speaking. Where you are filled, completely satisfied with the things of God. Where your heart is full of the grace and admonition of the Lord. And God has just filled your soul, your mind, your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams. What a thought. And to be filled. I hope every one of us has got the attitude of foddering this morning as we get into the Word of God deeper today. Just gorge ourselves. Get so full of God to where that ought to be our attitude from the start to finish, from the singing all the way through to the end of the service. Just, God, I'm here. Empty me out. Now, and remember, if something's in there already, God can't fill it up, can He? You can't take a glass that's already full of iced tea and pour it full of water. It's already full of something else. You have to empty everything else of you out, and then God can fill it up to where you're satisfied. To fodder. Filled. Gorged even. What a thought. It's what we need. That, my friend, is true revival at its finest. When we're willing to engulf ourselves in the things of God with a full heart, full mind, full attitude of resting and totally lifting up our dear Savior and say, God, I want all of you. I don't want to leave nothing now. As I spoke with Pastor before, and he did too, when we first got saved and someone said you need tongues, Lord, if it's real, I want it. I want in on this. I don't want nothing left out. Of course, it wasn't real, but into their sense it is. It's something, all right. But we'll get in it further. Let's pray. Father, dear God, bless your word. Help us, dear God, to realize, Lord, your ways are above our ways and your thinkings are way above our thinking. Help us to rest in this, Lord, as we understand fully how your will for each one of us here on planet Earth, Lord, and it's true. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Help us, Lord. Bless our preacher preaching, dear God. Help us to sing. Help us to love you. Help us to worship you, Lord. Help us to give our 100% this morning. Help us to gorge ourselves in the things of God as we empty of ourselves out and allow you to fill us and help us that your fruit be manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.